Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de la región de Murcia. Pruebas específicas de certificación. Inglés. Nivel B2. Convocatoria ordinaria 2023.
Task 1. Please read the instructions and the task.
My childhood was happy and carefree. My sister and I were blessed with loving parents. Our family lived in the countryside, only 3 miles from the nearest town. Looking back to this time, I think life was idyllic. At school, I was always good at sport, especially rugby. Although physically challenging, I enjoyed building up my fitness ready for the intensity of forthcoming matches. Having both the technical and physical ability, an excellent work ethic and willingness to learn, I was selected to join the prestigious Birtley Academy for Rugby. I was dual registered to both the Birtley and my school until I reached the age of 18, when I was contracted full-time to play rugby at the academy, as only those with the ability to succeed were taken on. I was honoured to be accepted. Once at the academy club, I followed a strict training regime to ensure that I was at the standard required. Eventually, I was selected to be a substitute at certain matches, which I enjoyed. After proving my worth, my aspirations were rewarded a few months later when I was signed to a national rugby team. I was ecstatic. Not just the game, but the camaraderie between players gave me pleasure, especially when strict training resulted in our team winning a match. However, after just 3 years of success, I had to retire from rugby due to several injuries. The most concerning was brain trauma caused by blows to my head during play. The post-concussive symptoms were permanent. I suffered from poor concentration, memory difficulties, and brain fog. I was devastated, but over time realized that I needed to find a new career, which was also enjoyable. After much soul-searching, I decided to promote my paintings. I had completed several during my convalescence. Although not art school trained but self-taught, I had received several positive comments about my work. Over the next few months, I worked on my art, but managed to sell only 4 landscapes. It was clear that I could not sustain this way of life. My savings were dwindling, and with no significant income, I made the decision to seek other employment. My childhood was happy and carefree. My sister and I were blessed with loving parents. Our family lived in the countryside, only 3 miles from the nearest town. Looking back to this time, I think life was idyllic. At school, I was always good at sport, especially rugby. Although physically challenging, I enjoyed building up my fitness ready for the intensity of forthcoming matches. Having both the technical and physical ability, an excellent work ethic and willingness to learn, I was selected to join the prestigious Birtley Academy for Rugby. I was dual registered to both the Birtley and my school until I reached the age of 18, when I was contracted full-time to play rugby at the academy. As only those with the ability to succeed were taken on, I was honoured to be accepted. Once at the academy club, I followed a strict training regime to ensure that I was at the standard required. Eventually, I was selected to be a substitute at certain matches, which I enjoyed. After proving my worth, my aspirations were rewarded a few months later when I was signed to a national rugby team. I was ecstatic. Not just the game, but the camaraderie between players gave me pleasure, especially when strict training resulted in our team winning a match. However, after just 3 years of success, I had to retire from rugby due to several injuries. The most concerning was brain trauma caused by blows to my head during play. The post-concussive symptoms were permanent. I suffered from poor concentration, memory difficulties, and brain fog. I was devastated, but over time realized that I needed to find a new career, which was also enjoyable. After much soul-searching, I decided to promote my paintings. I had completed several during my convalescence. Although not art school trained but self-taught, I had received several positive comments about my work. Over the next few months, I worked on my art, but managed to sell only 4 landscapes. It was clear that I could not sustain this way of life. My savings were dwindling, and with no significant income, I made the decision to seek other employment.
Task 2. Please read the instructions and the task.
That was programming in the early 1960s. In 1975, 13 years from startup, equal opportunities legislation came in Britain, and that made it illegal to have our pro-female policies. And as an example of unintended consequences, my female company had to let the men in. When I started my company of women, the men sort of said, how interesting, because it only works because it's small. And later, as it became sizable, they sort of accepted, yes, it is sizable now, but of no strategic interest. And later, when it was a company valued at over $3 billion, and I'd made 70 of the staff into millionaires, they sort of said, well done, Steve. You can always tell ambitious women by the shape of our heads. They're flat on top for being patted patronizingly. And we have larger feet to stand away from the kitchen sink. Let me share with you two secrets of success. Surround yourself with first-class people and people that you like. And choose your partner very, very carefully. Because the other day when I said, my husband's an angel, a woman complained. You're lucky, she said. Mine's still alive. If success were easy, we'd all be millionaires. But in my case, it came in the midst of family trauma and indeed crisis. Our late son Giles was an only child, beautiful, contented baby, and then a 2.5, like a changeling in a fairy story, he lost the little speech that he had and turned into a wild, unmanageable toddler. Not the terrible twos. He was profoundly autistic. And he never spoke again. Giles was the first resident in the first house of the first charity that I set up to pioneer services for autism. And then there's been a groundbreaking Prowse Court School for pupils with autism, and a medical research charity, again, all for autism. Because whenever I found a gap in services, I tried to help. That was programming in the early 1960s. In 1975, 13 years from startup, equal opportunities legislation came in Britain, and that made it illegal to have our pro-female policies. And as an example of unintended consequences, my female company had to let the men in. When I started my company of women, the men sort of said, how interesting, because it only works because it's small. And later, as it became sizable, they sort of accepted, yes, it is sizable now, but of no strategic interest. And later, when it was a company valued at over $3 billion, and I'd made 70 of the staff into millionaires, they sort of said, well done, Steve. You can always tell ambitious women by the shape of our heads. They're flat on top for being patted patronizingly. And we have larger feet to stand away from the kitchen sink. Let me share with you two secrets of success. Surround yourself with first-class people and people that you like. And choose your partner very, very carefully. Because the other day when I said, my husband's an angel, a woman complained. You're lucky, she said. Mine's still alive. If success were easy, we'd all be millionaires. But in my case, it came in the midst of family trauma and indeed crisis. Our late son Giles was an only child, a beautiful, contented baby. And then a 2.5, like a changeling in a fairy story, he lost the little speech that he had and turned into a wild, unmanageable toddler. Not the terrible twos, he was profoundly autistic. And he never spoke again. Giles was the first resident in the first house of the first charity that I set up to pioneer services for autism. And then there's been a groundbreaking Prowse Court School for pupils with autism and a medical research charity, again, all for autism. Because whenever I found a gap in services, I tried to help.
Task 3. Please read the instructions and the task.
Dennis was different. When he looked in the mirror, he saw an ordinary 12-year-old boy. But he felt different. His thoughts were full of colour and poetry, though his life could be very boring. The story I'm going to tell you begins here, in Dennis's ordinary house on an ordinary street in an ordinary town. His house was nearly exactly the same as all the others in the street. One house had double glazing, another did not. One had a gravel drive, another had crazy paving. One had a Vauxhall Cavalier in the drive, another a Vauxhall Astra. Tiny differences that only really pointed out the sameness of everything. It was all so ordinary. Something extraordinary just had to happen. Dennis lived with his dad, who did have a name, but Dennis just called him Dad, so I will too, and his older brother John, who was 14. Dennis found it frustrating that his brother would always be 2 years older than him, and bigger and stronger. Dennis's mum had left home a couple of years ago. Before that, Dennis used to creep out of his room and sit at the top of the stairs and listen to his mum and dad shout at each other, until one day the shouting stopped. She was gone. Dad banned John and Dennis from ever mentioning mum again. And soon after she left, He went around the house and took down all the photographs of her and burnt them in a big bonfire. But Dennis managed to save one. One solitary photograph escaped the flames, dancing up into the air from the heat of the fire, before floating through the smoke and onto the hedge. As dusk fell, Dennis snuck out and retrieved the photo. It was charred and blackened around the edges, and at first his heart sank, but when he turned it to the light, he saw that the image was as bright and clear as ever. It showed a joyful scene, a younger John and Dennis with Mum at the beach, Mum wearing a lovely yellow dress with flowers on it. Dennis loved that dress. It was full of colour and life, and soft to the touch. When Mum put it on, it meant that summer had arrived. It had been warm outside after she left, but it hadn't really been summer in their house again. In the picture, Dennis and his brother were in swimming trunks holding ice cream cones, vanilla ice cream smeared around their smiling mouths. Dennis kept the photo in his pocket and looked at it secretly every day. His mum looked so achingly beautiful in it, even though her smile was uncertain. Dennis stared at it for hours on end, trying to imagine what she had been thinking when it was taken. After Mum left, Dad didn't say much, but when he did, he would often shout. So Dennis ended up watching a lot of television, and especially his favourite show, Trisha. Dennis was different. When he looked in the mirror, he saw an ordinary 12-year-old boy. But he felt different. His thoughts were full of colour and poetry, though his life could be very boring. The story I'm going to tell you begins here, in Dennis's ordinary house, on an ordinary street, in an ordinary town. His house was nearly exactly the same as all the others in the street. One house had double glazing, another did not. One had a gravel drive, another had crazy paving. One had a Vauxhall Cavalier in the drive, another a Vauxhall Astra. Tiny differences that only really pointed out the sameness of everything. It was all so ordinary. Something extraordinary just had to happen. Dennis lived with his dad, who did have a name, but Dennis just called him Dad, so I will too, and his older brother John, who was 14. Dennis found it frustrating that his brother would always be 2 years older than him, and bigger, and stronger. Dennis's mum had left home a couple of years ago. Before that, Dennis used to creep out of his room and sit at the top of the stairs and listen to his mum and dad shout at each other, until one day the shouting stopped. She was gone. Dad banned John and Dennis from ever mentioning mum again, and soon after she left, he went around the house and took down all the photographs of her, and burnt them in a big bonfire. But Dennis managed to save one. One solitary photograph escaped the flames, dancing up into the air from the heat of the fire, before floating through the smoke and onto the hedge. As dusk fell, Dennis snuck out and retrieved the photo. It was charred and blackened around the edges, and at first his heart sank, but when he turned it to the light, he saw that the image was as bright and clear as ever. It showed a joyful scene, a younger John and Dennis with Mum at the beach, Mum wearing a lovely yellow dress with flowers on it. Dennis loved that dress. It was full of colour and life, and soft to the touch. When Mum put it on, it meant that summer had arrived. It had been warm outside after she left, but it hadn't really been summer in their house again. In the picture, Dennis and his brother were in swimming trunks holding ice cream cones, vanilla ice cream smeared around their smiling mouths. Dennis kept the photo in his pocket and looked at it secretly every day. His mum looked so achingly beautiful in it, even though her smile was uncertain. Dennis stared at it for hours on end, trying to imagine what she had been thinking when it was taken. After Mum left, Dad didn't say much, but when he did, he would often shout. So Dennis ended up watching a lot of television, and especially his favourite show, Trisha.
Fin de la prueba.